Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Utah Royals FC show. My name is Lucas Muller, and I am, as always, joined by Rachel Leonard and Cindy Laura. Cindy, how are you?
I am well. I am here.
How is running the soccer world being a ref, a coach, a player, just doing everything?
You know, I wear many hats, but every hat is different and every hat is fun. And I am very busy.
Yeah. And this isn't even your only podcast. Is terrible.
It's terrible. And
Richa, how are you today?
I'm staying alive. I'm no longer sick. Here, it's great. The weather, like, winter is finally going away, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We don't need a fifth winter.
I was really excited last week when we were going to record and then didn't, but to tell people that you died because of the eclipse, and that's why you couldn't be on. I'm still bummed that I didn't get to make that joke.
Yeah, that would have been really funny.
We have
theories.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot out there.
Yeah. For the listeners, I was extremely sick last week, but we're good now.
Which is funny because I hope you don't mind me saying this. The last time recorded, you got up towards the end, just put yourself on mute, walked out, came back a few minutes later, and like, I just threw up, which was unrelated to this illness. I have a toddler in daycare, so I've had a cold, I feel like, since August. You got it way worse than I have somehow. But yeah, it's been 3 weeks maybe since we recorded, so sorry that we've had such a long interregnum, but we are back, and the U.S. are back. So the U.S. women's national team just won the She Believes Cup for the 100th time. They met Canada in the final after a 2-2 draw. They beat them in a shootout win over Canada. Any thoughts on this game?
You know, they're back. They're going to win a gold medal and regain world dominance again. Just kidding. I watched the final, and that was the extent of my She Believes experience. And I don't know. I feel like we used to be able to, like, just completely, like, beat everyone. And that's not the case anymore. So,
yeah.
Do we believe still?
She believes, but she might be losing her faith.
Yeah.
Cup.
Yeah.
It is funny. I mean, it seems like they just walk that competition every time for years. And it's definitely more of a challenge now.
Yeah. I think it was, honestly, Alyssa Nair won that She Believes Cup. Like, she scored a goal. Did she stop, like, 3 or 4 PKs? Oh, come on, guys.
I don't know if that many, but she's been incredible.
She stopped at least 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah. I'm almost 100% certain. I feel like the Sweden, remember, like, last summer where the U.S. lost in PKs against Sweden? She's just been unstoppable on PKs. It's like, I'm never losing another PK again in my life, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember in the 2020 Challenge Cup, Chicago won some shootout, and the whole team rushed to, like, hug her because I think she made a save. Like, they won because she made the save. And she looked so uncomfortable with all of her teammates hugging her. You get the impression she's not the most touchy-feely of teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what a legend.
She kind of looks like she hates people constantly. I love.
It's very relatable.
Yeah, like, I get that. No, she's incredible.
Alyssa Nair for president 2024.
That would be great.
That would be great.
I have no idea what her politics are, but probably better than other options that are likely to be options. On a completely different note, Maria Sanchez has requested a trade away from Houston. So Jeff Kasouf is reporting, and it seems like other people have verified these reports, that Sanchez, who like just broke the IndoBSL record for like most lucrative contract, even though that has since been broken, is now requesting a trade away from the Dash. That's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty kind of interesting and unfolding story, but Sanchez is from Idaho. Do you guys think there's any chance that she could land here in Utah?
No.
I mean, maybe. Okay, guys, let's be honest. Utah needs a good player.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they can would want, because whoever signs Sanchez would have to pick up her contract, basically.
Yeah,
as long as she goes to an IndoBSL team, that team is in the hook for the contract.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's
a big one.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Cindy.
No, I was just saying. So that's where it gets tricky, is the financial aspect of it. I'm sure they'd love to be able to sign her. I mean, at this point, you want to sign someone significantly good. So,
mm-hmm.
Virgil, what do you think?
She's a great player. I don't know if she's elite. And with the way this, which we'll talk about later, but it kind of seems like there's other things on Ryan Smith's mind right now. And with the way that they have constructed this roster, like, I don't think they're going to bite into 1.5 mil. Like, it just seems completely unrealistic. But maybe, but I don't know. So far, this team has kind of proven that they're not super willing to spend. So, and if they do spend, I don't know if Maria Sanchez is the player you go and do that on.
It does feel like the roster construction was, they kind of wanted to build a team. Seems like give it to summer or so and kind of see, okay, where do we really need to strengthen? Maybe they feel like they have a better idea after four games. Maybe they're like, no, this is the course we want to stay for now. The window closes on Friday, so it would have to be a let's go now decision. I think if you're spending that kind of money, the way, I don't know if the money isn't there for Utah. I kind of get the impression that if they wanted it, perhaps it would be, but I also am not sure if one player is the most effective way to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not saying that it's Maria Sanchez. And it's unfortunate. I don't know. You guys ever watch Dash or Dynamo games, and their attendance is just so sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway. I could see why you would want to trade. But she's been there a while. I mean, what, last couple of seasons she's been there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, she's definitely spent a good chunk of time with the team. Do you have any sense of what is causing her to request this trade?
My first thought is just probably not happy with the direction of the club right now. They are in like 11th. And there's always things behind the scenes we're never fully aware of. And Houston has gone through like a number of coaches in the last few years. So it doesn't seem like the most stable club to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And she's not someone who hasn't left a team before. I know this is college, right? So it's kind of like, it's not exactly apples to apples. But she did leave Idaho State publicly saying that she wanted to seek a more competitive environment. And so she left and went to Santa Clara. So, you know, maybe she's just has higher sights for herself, which not to rip on the Houston Dash, right? But, to every point that has been made so far, I mean, like, they're absolutely correct. Like, it, that club, even when the first iteration of the team, it's just kind of been like a rotating table of coaches, some with like severe issues, you know, that tend to fortunately be pretty dominant through women's sports. But yeah, I don't know. I think the chance that the Royals go after her is low. It'd be cool if it happened, but also at this point, like, I don't know if I don't know if the position she plays, being on the wing, is would be the number one priority that the Royals would go for right now anyways. So
I would agree with that.
Other than the fact that they need to score goals.
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems like they're good young players on the wings that can really develop. Whereas, as I think we'll probably talk about later when we do the Pride recap, like, midfield needs some work. Defense is going to need some work. Those are probably a little more high priority. Obviously, this team needs to score, right? Like, there's a lot more to winning soccer games other than just giving center the ball and saying go. But yeah. Sorry for the ramble.
No, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting question. I have seen people float it as this could be a possibility because it's close to her home. It's a team that clearly has space in the roster, but overall, I also would agree. It's unlikely. Could be fun if it happens, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot to that as a possibility. Speaking of other needs, Royals defender Imani Dorsey was officially placed on the season-ending injury list. I was told that was kind of just a matter of time of when it happened, that frees up space in the roster and a few other things that really weren't super urgent for the team. So with the international break, they weren't making that a huge priority, but she's officially on the season ending injury list, which is a huge bummer, but you know, she, there are backups to her and they've been all right. And it just feels like part of the young team of obviously a player is going to go down, and that just is what it is. Should we talk hockey?
Yeah.
Since we're now a hockey podcast?
Yeah.
So how about that hockey? You guys ever been to an NHL game, either of you?
Never. Wow. We were talking in the Slack, but I can't see the puck. Like, that is 100% yeah. My problem with hockey is I cannot see the puck. And I'm just frustrated. Like, what's happening?
Well, it's very small and it moves incredibly fast. I know. Which is, like, really dumb for a sport.
Also, I think the goalkeepers are robots because there's no way you stop something that small coming at you. You know?
Well, and it would be scary to have it hit at you.
Yeah.
No one wants that. I've been to exactly one NHL game. It was a Detroit Red Wings game. And it went to extra time, I think they call it, in the business. And went to a shootout, and they won. And I don't remember who they played. But apparently the Red Wings are not super good. And I did learn that in the 80s, they were called the Dead Wings because they were so bad for so long. And I just think that's delightful. My main question is if Utah gets a NHL team, as seems is basically done, what happens to like Nick and Christina, who are diehard Las Vegas Knights fans? Feels like a big conflict.
It does feel like a big conflict.
Are we talking
hockey people in the community? Shout out Todd Nate, residential good guy.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of gets nitty gritty. Like, I don't know. Like, honestly, this is like, it's not sugarcoat it. Like, this just kind of sticks the Royals further down the totem pole of Ryan Smith. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, but ultimately, like, I'm not super stoked about that. I think there are a lot of people who own sports teams who are very wealthy, and they kind of like to just collect them and let them pile up instead of being stewards of their community. And I'm not saying that that is what is happening here, but it may, you know. Oh, I mean, Blitzer absolutely does that in other places, right? But, like, with Ryan Smith seems like he absolutely does love Utah and all that stuff. But, like, the Monarchs are barely even a thing anymore. Like, seems like a lot of their staff has just been obliterated. Like, their social media presence was non-existent up until, like, their first game. Like, it's
they didn't tweet they had a game that day.
Oh, they didn't? They didn't tweet at all? Even,
not one tweet that they had a game that day.
It's bad. It's bad.
Season opener was a home opener. There's just Zooey, who's awesome. He's now the Royals PR guy. He had been doing the Monarchs forever and did a great job with them, and I think that's why they moved him over to the Utah Royals. But it just feels like there's a void there that there just isn't a capacity to fill. And I mean, the Monarchs is an interesting one. So if listeners are diehard NWSL fans, we should probably unpack this a little bit. Utah is getting the, is it Arizona Coyotes?
Yeah.
Is that the team name? Moving up from Phoenix, and it seems like the NHL commissioner approved it today. The players were told on Friday that it was happening. And that team will be owned by Ryan Smith, who owns RSL, Utah Royals, and also the Utah Jazz of the NBA. The Monarchs, if listeners aren't familiar, are RSL's MLS Next Pro team. So basically their B team. And there was a stretch there where they were decent in the league. They won a couple of good trophies. And they had a real following. And it feels like they've just kind of been pushed down and pushed down. And Richard, I think your concern is, will that happen with the Royals as more teams are kind of added to Ryan Smith's portfolio?
Yeah. To clarify, I don't think it'll ever get to that point, right? Because there's a lot of things that really impact Monarchs' attendance. You know, it's MLS Next Pro is like a significantly worse product with worse marketing, worse packaging, all that stuff. It's out in Harriman. I don't think with the way that women's soccer is growing, I don't think it will ever get to that point because women's sports are on the rise. But I do think that the Utah Jazz are Ryan Smith's baby, and whatever this NHL team is going to be is going to be like baby number two. And then the soccer stuff would probably take a step back, depending on who's running it in the day-to-day, right? But even then, like, that's more money that's being split in different directions. And, you know, David Blitzer already owns like seven teams. So I don't know. I just think I have a very European sort of romantic community oriented view of sports and soccer, particularly due to the way that I was raised in the household that I was raised in. And, you know, yay, socialization, go Feyenoord, all that stuff. But, oh no, I just don't like the sporting conglomerate stuff. Like, I just don't like it. And I was talking with somebody about this. Like, the Oakland A's are like a decent example. And like, actually Arizona right here, right? Like, we're seeing teams be in communities for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And just leave. And that happened to the Royals, and the Royals were cemented in the community, but it wasn't like a decade thing. But it's like, does this open up maybe just like a touch of vulnerability down the line for something to happen to the team again? Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on what Smith wants to do long term.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who is fully bought into, he wants to make Utah the coolest place he can. And he has a very tech approach to doing that. Like, however you feel about that. So I think he wants to add more, you know, more sports teams. I mean, the Millers are working on bringing a baseball team. And like, for a lot of people, that's exciting. Personally, like, I do not care about any sports other than hockey, other than soccer, like, whatsoever. So, like, for me, it's sort of take it or leave it. I don't know if that kind of enhances Utah, Salt Lake as being a cooler place. I don't know. But it does, I think there is a, I think I can see why some people would feel like, okay, like, it's a little scary that Royals just gets knocked down like one more position. My hope is, and I think this is would be his approach, is you get good people in place to lead it, and then you just kind of connect with them. And it's, you know, for him, he's pretty hands off, but he also has meaningful investors, you know, Lindsey Vonn, Dwayne Wade, you know, Blitzer are all a part of the Royals ownership. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to move on to game recaps? We have two to cover.
Ooh, two losses.
Two losses. Since we're talking Utah results, it is, for local fans here, really depressing that Friday Royals had a game, they lost, didn't score a goal. Saturday RSL had a game, tied, didn't score a goal. Sunday, the Monarchs had a game, lost, didn't score a goal. It is probably the first non-scoring three-game weekend in, you know, overall club history. 1 point from three home games is not great. So we're going to talk about one of those in depth, but not yet. We're going to go in the way back machine and talk about a game that happened darn near 6 months ago, the Washington Spirit versus the Utah Royals. I think the main thing that stands out for this game is approximately 12 minutes of VAR review. That was my highlight.
My highlight was Dunny and DJ on the call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't on the replay. I think you had to see that live.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
That's so that was such a bummer because I was amped up to listen to them, and that just that's not who I got. How'd they do? I don't think I've ever heard DJ call a women's game. I know Dunny has.
Well, DJ's doing it with Carla.
Right. I still haven't heard.
Oh, you gotcha. You mean you don't have a TV antenna? You know, plug your antenna into your TV and pick up channel. Funny story about that. My reception's awful. So it is a battle and a half. Me just like waving this thing around, trying to find a place. It's a nightmare. Yeah. It was nostalgic. It was good. The game was not good. But, you know, hearing those voices together was nice.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into that initial VAR. I don't know, should I say VAR or VAR?
VAR. No,
I think I've been listening to many British podcasts because they all call it VAR. Oh, I don't like that. No one wants to be influenced by the British. So the first one was Fodor possible red card. It took them, what, probably 5 minutes before the ref went over and looked at the foul. The commentators I saw were very confused that eventually it was she was given a yellow card, which I don't know if they're allowed to actually do, even if that's a correct call. I think the rule is if you're reviewing for a possible red, that's kind of all you can give. It's like red or nothing, but they gave her yellow, which might have been the right call. It's kind of hard to say, but the review for that was a full 6 minutes from when the whistle was blown to when play resumed, which was way too long. There was 13 minutes of stoppage in the first half, which is the longest I can ever remember seeing personally. Do we want to go through the goals maybe?
Sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah,
we can do that.
Why not talk about misery?
Well, both of the Spirit's goals came in the first half. So, no spoiler alerts, but Sintner did score in the 71st minute where the Royals won that half. And that counts for, well, technically nothing, but it's a nice feeling. First goal was a Sullivan penalty. Cindy, does this stand up to you? Do you remember this one well?
That was so long ago, man. It was Olivia Griffiths who committed that foul in the penalty box. It took down Corey Bethune. And, yeah. And it was Andy Sullivan converting easily. 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I remember.
I mean, it was... When that was awarded, I kind of felt hopeful. Like, okay, Hott could get this. She had just saved one and had another one hit the post and not go in, had come up big in a couple moments. Andy Sullivan's real good, and that, yeah. She took it much better than the, whatever that previous game was. I don't know. Griffiths, I think just is a little too aggressive there. And I guess I think my question here is three penalties functionally within a game and a half. Is there a discipline issue going on with the defense? Is that something we need to be concerned about?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so as of now. I think it's too early to have that conversation. Maybe. But, more data points needed, I think.
That's probably fair and probably more rational. I think I wrote that comment or that question shortly after the game, so it felt like, this is happening a lot.
Mm. It is, though. Like, it is happening a lot. Like, three pens in two games. Like, that is not good. Not ideal.
No. So, yeah, to go over the timeline, that penalty was given. The Spirit scored. We had that long stoppage. And then just a few minutes later, the Spirit sent the ball into the box. Utah tries to clear it, but send it right to Rodman. And she has, great vision. She has time to control it, passes it in. And Saar just out jumps Del Fava, it goes past the keeper to the far corner, and it's definitely a defensive breakdown, but it's also the Spirit really capitalizing on those mistakes. But let's talk about a fun moment. Either of you remember the Sintner goal in this game?
Yeah, it was very similar to one of our other goals. I can think of first goal, if I remember right. Pretty far outside the box. Cut in. Beautiful goal. I'm talking about the right goal, right? It's been so long. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah. Two defenders on her. Just evades them. Boom, boom. Like you were saying, this team was definitely a lot better in the second half than they were in the first half. But yeah, I mean, that was, I think, that goal was the highlight of the game, for sure, from our end.
Well, it depends on how much you care about VAR, but sure. I mean, yeah, she can just pull out those shots so unexpectedly.
Yeah.
It feels like very little setup. She just pulls the trigger, and man, when she puts them on, like, they are dangerous. Yeah.
She used a different leg too than she did on the Screamer, and
well, she's got two of them.
I know she has two legs, but not every player can, you know, pop and boom like that.
Yeah.
Not far out.
To jump ahead, I heard a stat that Marta's goal was like her first time scoring with her right foot since like, I think 2017 is what they said.
Wow.
I just didn't realize she was so dominantly left footed. But if true, that's wild.
Yeah.
And yeah. I guess that's a good transition point to talking about the Pride. Is there any, before we do, like, any thoughts more on the Washington Spirit game?
No.
Good, because that's so long ago. you guys could have just made something up about the game. I would have been like, oh, yeah.
I don't know if anything that I just said was correct. So.
Sounds about right.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean. Most of what you say, actually. Just kidding. Okay, so Utah Royals back at home. They host the struggling Orlando Pride. Mm. And unfortunately, it was not a win. How are we feeling about the overall performance in this game?
It's kind of sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very sloppy. I kind of had some issues with, felt like there was a lack of urgency in the second half. Like, it really felt like we weren't even like, let's get forward until the 88th minute. I think a bunch of the subs were made at like the 81st, 82nd minute, where they brought on Tucker, Clough, and who am I forgetting? I don't know. I feel like I have some pretty concerns. Some pretty big Burns. Concerns with some of the effort at the end of that. I thought Burns was really good. She was really active. Oh,
she came in much
earlier. Yeah.
She came in the 64th. Clough, Tucker, and Vasconcelos.
It was Vasconcelos. Yeah, that's right. I really like Zoe Burns. She lost the ball quite a bit, but I think she was pushing a lot, and she's really fast, and her and Center were kind of the only players in this game that I felt threatening.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, which I think is really cool for Zoe too, because like she was a defender in college. And so for them to put her in the attack was cool. I was really excited to see Mozingo start, but I think the Pride did a good job defensively. It seemed like she couldn't. Her kind of MO in the previous games we had seen was her cut in, do step overs, make a pass. And we didn't see a whole ton of that. Instead, they kind of just tried to, like, lob the ball up top. And you could definitely see her speed and how that could be effective. But I just don't know. The thing with trying to lob the ball up top is that you have to be – it's not enough to be really fast. Like, the timing for that type of stuff has to be elite. And the chemistry and on that type of stuff has to be elite. And
yeah, you have to really understand. Yeah, it feels like there has to be a good understanding between your team, your players. Because if you're sprinting up, crossing the ball in, and there's no one there to receive it because you're just not used to each other's runs, it's not great.
Yeah.
I'm also not sure like what Bedford brings to the attack.
Yeah.
Maybe I would be curious to hear if you guys have a different perspective. It's sort of, they've talked a lot about how she's a converted defender to attacker.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like she's trying to play as like an anti-defender of like, I know what bothers defenders.
Yeah.
Without the creative, dangerous spark of like, a killer goal scorer.
Yeah. Feels very hold up, like hold up the ball, pass the ball, try to find other people. But yeah, it's not. It has not been great.
Because didn't Sintner play, generally play center forward more than wing in college?
I think so. Don't quote me on that.
I know we all watch a ton of college ball, so we all know this.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
That's all I'm doing is watching college players play soccer.
Gotta prepare for next season.
Yeah. When that draft comes out, I want to be like the one person who's like, oh, well, I've seen this player play like for 4 years now and I know everything about their game.
Real talk, I have watched so much basketball the last month. It's crazy. I feel like I could be that guy. Like, not really. Like, but yeah. I've watched a lot of basketball and it's been fun. I love March Madness. Sorry,
I watched part of one Iowa game.
Watched part of one Iowa game.
Yeah,
that's my ADHD contribution, sponsored by ADHD to the show.
I do feel like you are a person who enjoys multiple sports.
I do.
Which is weird to me. I don't understand why you would do that.
I love baseball, which is wild, and I've gotten super into baseball.
I was legitimately thinking about the Dolphins with you. And not baseball. And then it's like, oh yeah, I've heard you talk about baseball.
Yeah. Baseball's great because it's so slow. So I just put it up during my work day and it's just like in the background. It's great.
That's how you want to sell your sport. Hey, you can just have this on and not pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's great. Sorry, I completely derailed that conversation. Like I said, we're sponsored by ADHD today.
Yeah, this pod has never been particularly focused, so it's, I think that's okay. I tweeted before the game when I saw Marta was on the bench. I was like, oh, I really want to see her during the dark days, which is what we call 21 through 23. I did buy one of those just super sick Orlando Pride space jerseys.
That's sick.
With her number. It's one of my favorite jerseys I own. And I say this as someone who owns a couple of jerseys. It's just so cool. And I was like, oh, I really want to see her because she's one of the few professional soccer players that are older than I am. And who knows how long she'll be playing. And then she immediately scores within like 6 minutes of coming on.
I think it was her second touch. I think is what the announcer said, which is wild.
She just
don't give her two chances.
Don't give her two chances. She just schooled all the youths. She was like, "Watch this. This is how you score goals."
I mean, hopefully they take that message to heart, and they all do that next week.
This is how you play the football.
I
don't know.
Yeah, she is incredible. I am a little bit at a loss why no one was tracking her as she was running into the box with a mile of space around her.
Because it's Marta.
I know. There's one player just kind of stood at the top of the box. It felt like just watching. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I mean, it's fun to watch her play soccer, but maybe just give a little jog. So that was the one goal of the game. I was taking photos during this game. Do you guys feel like it was an exciting game? Was it an interesting game? Because I kind of felt like
no,
a lot didn't happen.
I was extremely bored. Okay. And I just talked about how much I watch baseball.
Yeah. Okay. I did not go back and rewatch anything other than the highlights for this game because I kind of caught the gist of it. I also forgot one of my adapters for my lenses, so I only had a shorter lens, which made this game challenging to photograph. So mistakes were made, but we survived. my editor didn't get too mad at me because this is the first time she's found out that happened.
Yeah, I did. I don't know.
Just rage. Stats for this game, Utah had 50.3% of the possession, so pretty even split. Utah only took 5 shots and put all 5 on frame, which is great. The 100% were on frame. It's not enough shots. That points to a significant issue. Orlando had 14 shots, 4 on goal. And then Utah's passing accuracy was 82%. I legitimately thought it would be lower, but I was more on the attacking end where I think possession or passing, they did struggle a little bit more. So,
which is weird because
I was just going to say, for what it's worth, the Royals were leading the league in passing coming into that game.
Yeah.
Passing accuracy, which is a great stat.
That was going to be my thought too. So,
oh, sorry, Cindy. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'll eat a sock later for you.
Oh. Sorry.
Do people still get that? Do people who listen to this podcast still get that?
You know, it's something that haunts me. So
that's good.
Yeah. I'll get them. Comments. All of a sudden, I'm just enjoying my nice day, and I get a notification from the NWSL Slack that I've been mentioned. And I'm like, it's probably about the dang sock.
Yeah.
So, thanks a lot. I'm so annoyed.
Well, you did it to yourself. No one prompted you to say that you would eat a sock, Cindy. You just volunteered that and then didn't do it. And here we are 8 years later talking about it. For listeners that don't know what we're talking about, just go back, listen to episodes 1 through probably 108 or so, and you should figure it out.
Yeah. I don't recommend that.
Yeah. The early audio of our podcast was not always stellar. But that's, you know, that's the story of most podcasts. Mm-hmm. So, what else? What else about this game?
Go ahead.
I mean, it just seemed like just like long balls and try to see what happens from there.
Yeah. I agree with that. It does feel like maybe this will come off, mm-hmm. rather than a well-drilled, we know what we're doing. This is how we're going to attack. This is how we're going to possess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think Centner looked good in some mm-hmm. moments. She is very quickly becoming my favorite player. She wants to win. I love that. There was a moment in the game, I forget what minute it was, but she was like visibly pissed. Like, where is the effort from everybody else in the attack is what the look on her face looked like. And I thought that was great. She's really passionate. She wants to win. I think that's great energy to build your team around. Because I think it's quickly becoming apparent that she kind of is the star player on the team. Like, she is the star. She kind of is the attraction. She is the person that you give the ball to when you want to score. So, future U.S. Women's National Team player, in my opinion.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah.
She keeps on, I know she didn't score in this game, but she is leading the team in goals, and that continues. Hopefully she'll get look into the national team.
Yeah. She's just was so creative. And I know the sample size is really small, but it feels like nobody else can really create chances and opportunities. Like I was talking about earlier, Mozingo definitely can. She was really hampered in this game for sure. But she could, and but I mean, like, this is this is kind of Senators team.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly kind of her. She's, yeah, it feels like she's a little bit, not maybe not the face, but the threat in the team.
Yeah.
It was funny right before the game started when they've started. I don't remember if they used to do this for the Royals. It's been a thing they've done for RSL forever where they'll announce a team by saying the first name and they'll have the the crowd chant back. So
they used to do that.
Be like Javier Morales, Kyle Beckham, you know. Did they do that for the Royals in Duration 1? They did? Okay, my mind is shot. They did that, and it was pretty, you know, not a huge response because there's no stars in the team, and, you know, I think everyone's still getting used to the roster and all that. And then they said, your head coach is Amy, and then the whole, like, place erupted for Rodriguez because she's a bit the star. And she should probably sub in every now and then.
Yeah.
In games when they really need that goal.
Yeah. Something
incredible.
Too, that I want to mention with center is that she got kicked in the face. And that was not even a yellow. And that was just wild to me. That was a very high kick. I don't know if y'all remember that.
I don't. Do you remember who and or when?
I don't. But it didn't even go to. I don't even think it went to VAR. But
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like kind of laying down on her stomach for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That was surprising. Yeah, not great.
No, not great. And Pogarsh probably should have been sent off for the shove that didn't get called. But I'm glad they didn't call it, you know, biases and whatnot.
Yeah. Probably good for Utah. I don't know if it would have affected the ultimate outcome of losing. But would have been wild if it did.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, their next game, their away to Racing Louisville. And that is on April 20th, which is, you know, my favorite day of the year. Cindy, how do you expect Racing to be in this game? They're interestingly, they haven't lost or won this season, which is pretty wild.
That is pretty wild. You know, going against, they are unbeaten, you know?
Unbeaten.
Yeah.
Good way to frame that.
Also unwon and
yeah, but nobody
winless, as some might say.
But nobody has beaten them. So, unbeaten. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Tied the Pride 2-2 week one. Tied the Dash 0-0 second week. And then tied Portland 2-2. And then tied San Diego 0-0. Based on those results and the teams that they've played, those are pretty good results to still remain unbeaten. I don't know. I want to be hopeful and say Utah could get a win. But also after what I saw against Orlando, I'm not so sure. So,
well, they beat the Courage.
Yeah, but
who also had been undefeated
till then.
One game before?
Yeah.
It's a good run.
Yeah.
I do think it's worth noting that the Courage roster, sheer just roster construction, are a better team than the Pride and Racing Louisville and maybe the Spirit. For what it's worth. But yeah.
But maybe just the fact that they, I mean, San Diego's a good team. That's a good result. That draw.
Mm-hmm.
Portland, even though they seem to be having quite a bit of issues are also a team that's fairly, you know, good. I know that their record doesn't show that. But they also have, you know, Sophia Smith and Janine Becky. So I would say, I'm going to say Racing Louisville is a team that's kind of like, I think they'll finish top eight. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I think they'll teach the Royals a few things again. No.
Like how to get back to winning ways?
Yeah. How to win.
This is interesting because I don't think that the Royals are like, yeah, they're going to win. But this does seem to be a much more winnable game than the game against the Courage did. Take that for what it's worth, I guess. So, I don't know. I feel kind of like hopeful that this game could end in a draw again, which would be really funny for Louisville.
That would be actually. I think everyone should be rooting for a draw.
Yeah.
I mean, Racing Louisville is the first team in NWSL history to open a season with four consecutive draws. So
yeah,
there you go.
Pretty wild. This is the first time Louisville has played Utah Royals because they were not in the league the last iteration of the team. We did steal Paige Monahan from them. So hopefully that will be a fun reunion. I think for me, what I really want to see out of this game is I just want to see more creativity and effort in the attack. Mm-hmm. I want to see a little bit more explosiveness, a little bit more creativity. I think as we get to sort of see more of what this team is. Like, we know that this team is not a contender. We know this is not a top three, top four team in the league. But I do really hope to see progress week to week. And it feels like there has been a step back in terms of, I think, for lack of a better word, sloppiness. Last couple games, so I like to see that change a little bit and maybe get some more players in. I don't know. I think we haven't really talked about this much, but I think Nyberg's been fantastic. I love Fodor personally because she's Dutch, but maybe that could be something that the team could look at rotating, maybe get Clough in there. Maybe Subvoter are in. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what role Tagliaferri is going to play. I mean, there's so many questions, and I really have been extremely surprised that relatively the same lineup has been rolled out week in and week out. I thought we'd see a lot more rotation by now.
I would like to see more rotation as well because, I mean, we're four games in, so it's really hard to land on anything. I think they are trying to develop chemistry, but I'm also curious how some of these players would be starting or would be getting more than 6 to 10 minutes of sub minutes. Like I would love to see a 55 minute, like you do two or three changes right then
and
just shake things up. If these players aren't starting or you revert back to who the normal starting 11 is. Like I was glad to see Brecken get a start. I think that was good, but yeah, I think there's still just so many unknowns with this team that until we see some different folks get a start and see how that affects having a little bit more control in the midfield or having more creativity in the attack, then it's just hard to analyze what we have.
Is there a specific player you want to see more of, Lucas and Cindy? Is there someone that comes to top of mind?
I'm going to sound bleak. I'm going to say nobody. I have yet to be like, wow. I think other than the North Carolina game, I was like, oh, okay, we maybe were wrong about this team.
Yeah.
In our initial analysis of their youth and inexperience. But I'm like, yeah, it's hard for me to say I want to see more of this specific player.
I would like, I know she's injured right now, but like Ify, seeing her get a real run out, like I kind of want to see a game where Bedford doesn't start.
Yeah.
To see what you can do in the attack, or maybe have Tucker on the wing to start with Sintner up top and just try a couple different things. Because I think that's one of my main concerns is the attack. I do think the midfield maybe could also try some different things. Like seeing Burns get a decent run out was fun. But it's kind of hard to analyze because we were expecting her to be more defensive and she played much further up than I expected.
I thought Clough was going to be a shoo-in to start a lot of those games.
Yeah.
In the midfield. And that has just, it's like 6 minutes here, 11 minutes there-ish kind of thing. I think it'd probably be good to see more of Merrick, too. I like that they've run Griffiths out, and I think she's been serviceable because we haven't been talking about her a lot. And for a defensive rookie, that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
But, like, Merrick does have more experience there. And Sydney, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's a fullback, right? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think, because we know this team is not going to be hyper-competitive, I find a lot of joy in just, and I think I'll continue to find a lot of joy throughout the season in just watching the experiment, but I want to see more players be involved in that. I want to see Zoe Burns play a lot more. I think that is probably my biggest roster takeaway from the game against the Pred. Because she was pretty electric in moments. Lost the ball a couple times, like I think I said earlier, but high potential to be pretty electric from what we saw.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great takeaway from that game. Well, any other thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Go listen to Sydney's podcast. That's a team that's winning week in and week out.
Am I allowed to talk about the Kansas City Current here?
Absolutely not. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. No, just kidding. No. Yeah, what about the current?
I think their podcast should pay us money to advertise their podcast on our podcast.
Our sponsor is
The Deal. How about we sponsor each other?
It's a great name, by the way.
Ooh,
the T apostrophe L.
Yeah. I think when Kansas City plays Utah, we should just do a joint podcast. That'd be so much fun.
That would be really fun. Yeah, I think we should do that.
Yeah.
Who's in that podcast with you?
There's three other co-hosts.
Wow.
Yeah. Coleman, his sister actually used to play for Kansas City last season. Oh. Yeah. And then Christian and Nancy. So it used to be Jenna. You guys remember Jenna?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, she's busy.
She came out here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But she's busy. Yeah. She's cool.
You're busy. You have two podcasts.
I know. I'm trying to. I can do it all. That's fine. Yeah. As I'm like,
then you can't keep burning the candle at both ends.
I can. Watch me.
So here is the rule that the universe is going to put in place for us. Just watch this. one of Cindy's teams is always going to be awesome, and the other team's going to stink. And next year is going to switch.
Potentially.
But she's also a Tottenham supporter. Yeah. And we're so sad. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. We will be back next week to recap the Racing Louisville game and preview the next game. Thanks.